It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Success Happens, another fabulous day in the Mid-Atlantic area. A little rainy, but that's okay. Grain is good, makes things green and grow. That's very good. I want to just let you know today is really about health and fitness, and we all could use a good dose of that, and talking about leadership. And I have with me today my friend and somebody I admire very much in her leadership abilities, and that's Chris Colville, CEO and president of the local Frederick County YMCA. And welcome.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about being here today.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I think back on the different interactions you and I have had since you arrived into the scene here in Frederick, and you've done such a wonderful job with Frederick County YMCA and the difference you've made in terms of the programs and really expanding. It's exciting to see the growth. And with such an old organization, sometimes that's hard to do. You know, we kind of get stuck, or, you know, things are just the way they are, and it's hard to reinvent. And I think you've done a really nice job with that. So I just want to make sure I kicked off with that little compliment for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Chris is very humble, so I have to toot her horn and let you guys know how great she is. But, you know, when we first met, you know, I was involved with a nonprofit as well. And so we were going to executive director meetings and running into each other. And then I ran into kind of a dilemma where I was looking at how do I reorganize my staffing and really functionality of the organization. And I reached out to you for help because I was so impressed with how you had handled.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. And so we did this, you know, for those of you all don't know, I'm a whiteboard flip chart gal. So I like to see everything out in front of me, visual, right? So we had our little flip charts and we're charting things and we're writing things up and we're doing that kind of I guess it was really exploration into how to reinvent the organization. And it helped me quite a bit. So I thank you for that.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah. So when you came to Frederick County and you were tasked with the why, are you able to kind of share kind of the condition in which you walked into the why?
Absolutely. You know, the why, here's the beauty of the why. It's been around for, you know, established in the United States since 1844. It's actually been in Frederick County since 1858, and it's one of the seventh oldest YMCAs in the country, and I'm not sure if a lot of people realize that. The other thing I want to make sure that people recognize as well is that we are a nonprofit, 501c3. Sometimes people tend to forget that we're a charitable organization and that there's a lot of really cool things that we do from a mission standpoint and how we're able to help other agencies like Mission of Mercy and some others that you've kind of alluded to. The Y was in a pretty healthy spot when I got here. Just needed a little kick in the pants, so to speak. And, you know, we looked at the organization, we looked at the staffing pattern, and I like to think about it as the analogy I use is a puzzle, right? Every organization can be one big puzzle. And if you lay out all the puzzle pieces independent of each other, they're beautiful pieces. You know, they're colorful, they've got different shapes, they're diverse, but they don't make sense if they're not connected. So I got this really cool puzzle box, but not all the pieces were connected. So I got to flip it over on the table and got to, you know, play with it. And when you can take all the different aspects and, you know, buckets of operations within your organization and connect the puzzle pieces, then you really get to see at the end of the day, what's the big picture look like? And that's an analogy that we've been using for the last couple of years and how we've been transforming.
Well, and I think it's a great analogy, and I love the creative process. You know, I actually really love transforming organizations. It's not for the faint of heart because you run up against a lot of resistance, right?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like change, or they don't mind change, but they don't necessarily want it to happen like as quickly as one might want to implement the change.
Right. And a lot of times when you're making these changes, you don't want to drag it out. You got to get it done.
Right.
Yeah. And the, you know, when you think about that creative process, you know, much like we did that day, when you step back and into your analogy, you use all these puzzle pieces. Sometimes there's a puzzle piece that doesn't fit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's happened a couple of times. I used to use the analogy.
Awkward.
Yeah, awkward. I used to use the analogy of kind of, you know, being on a train. This is going to be a fast-moving train. There's a lot of things that we want to accomplish. And I used that for the first couple of years, and I felt like, well, maybe that's not as sensitive or as embracing, you know, and doesn't appear to be as compassionate as I want to be. Because when I first started using the train analogy, it was like, train's moving forward. A couple of people fell off the train. We kicked a couple people off the train. There's a few people that might be holding on to the pole, you know, and they haven't quite...
For dear life.
Yeah, they haven't sat down yet. And then we've got, I would say, the majority of the folks are sitting comfortably on the train and they want to come along for the ride. So that's another one that we've used. But I've kind of transitioned into the puzzle, because I just think that's a little more inclusive and inviting. But when I first
but
got
really,
here...
really, I got to speak to that,
yeah,
because I think they're all so different.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about, I used to work for Worth Collection, and a woman by the name of Caroline Davis, who is a Southern belle who built this big fashion organization called Worth. And it's a trunk show, yeah, you know, high-end fashion line. So I used to work for her. And her analogy was, is you in or ain't you? So sometimes that fast-moving train really is... Are you on board with where we're going? Can you get on board with where we're going?
Right.
You know, we might have to have some discussion about that, right? But if you're not, it's really cool.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything has, as another friend of mine would say, has a season.
Yep.
You know, and this season may be ending.
Well, you know? And again, there were a lot of really good things happening with the Y when I came on board. And I don't want people to think that the Y was broken or wasn't functioning effectively, because it really was. But we had we did have pockets of where different departments were kind of operating in silos. So we might have had the aquatics department was doing great things in the aquatics department. Child care was doing wonderful things in child care. And same thing with health and wellness. But did health and wellness really know what was happening in child care? And did child care really know what was happening in aquatics? And that's where the puzzle piece analogy comes into play, because it's like, independent of each other, they're great pieces. But, you know, coming together and supporting each other in cross-marketing, cross-promoting, embracing what the challenges are that might be in one department. You know, it was funny, you know, we might have solutions internally, but we don't even know that we have solutions because we weren't even really communicating well with each other.
Well, and that's such a common breakdown, really, in most organizations. I mean, I think any organization can work at that at all times,
right?
You know, so it's, to your point, it's not about it being broken. If you looked at some of the most highly functioning organizations, they still have areas of improvement or opportunities to fit their organizational pieces better together. And you know, I think it's important, because sometimes we go to feeling like there's something wrong here, like
right,
you're saying, or broken. And no, there's always an opportunity for improvement. And I tell people all the time, you can always be better tomorrow than you are today, whether that's individual or an organization.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, we looked at the structure. We made some changes. We you know, also kind of went through the process of, do you have the right people in the right place? And if not, let's figure out what that looks like. And then... you know, we held people accountable, and I think there was some lacking of accountability that had existed previously. So that's always kind of a big change that somebody has to learn to embrace.
But, you know, I really struggle with accountability.
I love accountability.
You heard it here. But in that, it's hard to hold people to account. It's really, I think it's an art, truly. I find... I struggle in that, really, just knowing how to do it in a way that doesn't hammer people.
But here's the problem with that. I think I would agree that it could be hard to hold people accountable, but I think it's hard to hold people accountable if you don't set clear expectations.
Very
and they
good.
Don't understand what the goals are, and if you don't empower the people to do the job that you've hired them to do.
Mm.
So if you're not empowered, then they're never going to be able to do what it is you've asked them to do, and therefore you have no... There is no reason to hold them accountable.
I understand that.
Does that make sense?
Clearly.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. And I think, you know, feeling empowered is a two-way street. It's me allowing you to hold me to account and not having disempower me.
Correct.
Right? But it's also you coming from a place of empowering me when you say what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it is. It's quite a dance, as we say. It's a bit of a dance. The other thing I think that we look at in organizations is when you're adding programs and services,
right,
or you're expanding and you've been, you know, in that transformation, if you will, you're not only addressing maybe some systemic things in the organization that needed to improve, but you're also expanding,
right,
growing your organization. So can you speak to that?
Yeah. And so I have actually been in Frederick, believe it or not, 5 years. I celebrated my 5 year anniversary in March. So
wow.
It's time flies, you know, when you're pretty busy. So that's an interesting question because it is a double-edged sword. You want to grow your program, you want to expand services, you want to serve more folks than you've ever served before, and you take on some new initiatives. At the same time you're doing that, you also have to think about the current infrastructure and do I really have what it takes to support this new endeavor? So in the 5 years that we've been here, we've taken on Head Start. We just recently found out that we're still in the Head Start business, and we're going to be running the program for another 5 years. We got re-upped for another 5 years, which is great. We manage the pool for the city of Brunswick, which we weren't doing that prior to my arrival. We've launched a capital campaign for South County. We formed a partnership with the American Legion. We're now managing a 72-acre day camp at Resident Camp in the Thurmont area. These are all things that have evolved in the last couple of years. Then you throw in a horrible storm almost 2 years ago with the water damage and the flood that the Y had to go through, and you've got to figure out how to, you know, deal with that at the same time, you know, meet the needs of your participants and your the constituents of Frederick County. And it's tough to balance that sometimes.
Yeah, the flood wasn't on your schedule.
No, I didn't have that one in my to-do box. Not originally, anyway.
That was brutal. I remember what you went through, and that was really, really tough. And I think you managed through that very well. And there's some lessons learned, as you said. Can you share some of your lessons learned?
Yeah.
For anybody who might be
absolutely
faced with that?
Obviously, you know, I've actually spoken about this to some YMCA CEOs at other conferences, and then, you know, locally to some of the local nonprofits that might be a little bit smaller and maybe don't have quite all of the same moving pieces that we had to deal with. But I would challenge any organization to have a strong communication plan in hand, in your back pocket.
In the event of a disaster.
In the event of a disaster, mm-hmm, or a natural disaster of some sort, you gotta know who you need to talk to, and you need to know the order in which you need to get the messaging out. I would also encourage folks to, you know, evaluate their insurance policies and make sure that they have the right types of coverages. And that, you know, that they're prepared. You know, not only do we weren't in a flood zone, so we didn't have flood insurance. And once the peril was deemed a flood, it became a very costly renovations for us. So, of course, we now have flood insurance. I also have earthquake insurance because I panicked. I started buying everything because I just thought, oh, I can't go through this again. But, you know, emotionally, socially, spiritually, physically, you know, I don't know that we could go through that again. Financially, I think we're covered, but it's all the other things that you're challenged to deal with. And just the logistics, the sheer logistics of, you know, which comes first. Here's the pecking, you know, here's the laundry list of everything that we think we now need to deal with. But how do we put it in order, and what do we address first? And that was a fascinating process because, I will give great shout-outs to all of my staff team members and the volunteers and even community members that stepped up that helped us navigate through that.
And that, I think, also affected your Head Start program because the kids were in that area, weren't they?
No, they.
It was a different area.
Yeah, it was a different licensed child care program we had downstairs.
Oh.
We did. It wasn't the Head Start, but we did have 90 children that were displaced that had
to
go across the street. And the Beth Shalom Center was very gracious in offering up space as early as the next week.
Yeah.
We were able to partner with FCPS and use a classroom that wasn't being used at North Frederick Elementary School. So the community response was phenomenal. And it makes your heart feel good to know that there's a lot of people that recognize, you know, what the Y means to the community. And then it was fascinating to see how many people got engaged with the Y that didn't have a relationship with the Y.
That's amazing. You know, when we come back, we'll talk further about that. And the difference that the Y makes in the community. I think that's a nice place to go with the conversation. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Chris Colville, CEO and president of the YMCA of Frederick County. And we've been talking about, well, we kind of finished the last conversation about this disaster, and I thought it was interesting, so I want to make sure we add. How much damage was it that cost it out to?
You know,
from the flood?
Yeah, so we originally estimated it was about $2.1 million worth of damages, and we were able to negotiate some of the contracts and some of the services and the repairs down to about 1.6. So it's still significant. We basically had to self-fund that, and I want to give a special shout-out, if I can, to the Oshman Family Foundation. They stepped up and offered a matching grant of up to $500,000.
Wow.
And we were able to raise... exceeded that dollar amount, actually, and raised the 1.6 that we needed to rebuild. So,
how fabulous.
Yeah, that was
how
pretty
fabulous.
Cool.
Did you have people offer in-kind support as well?
We did. Again, we had some of our local contractors. You know, you talked a little bit about some of the lessons learned. I would say relationship building is key, you know, to success in any organization. And again, my facilities IT director, Tim Dunn, was phenomenal. And based on some of the relationships he already had established with local vendors and contractors, Brandenburg Electric, Jones Electric, to name a few, I mean, they immediately came to our aid. And those guys lived there from 4 o'clock in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night, every night for 3 weeks until we were able to get back up and running and get power back to the facility. So it was not an easy task, but I don't know that, you know, if you don't have those relationships established and if you don't treat your vendors and your contractors with respect and, right. and you know, just have good business common business sense when you're dealing with folks, that they would have felt obligated or felt compelled to do what they did.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think it's a testimony to the organization and your leadership. This idea of in-kind support, I think it's important to note that anybody listening today, you can give of yourself. If it's not through a check, wonderful ways to donate your time and talent and your services that you do every day to organizations that need your services. If you want to make a difference with them and you're not sure you want to cut the check, it's a great way to support nonprofits by doing in-kind support.
Absolutely. And we rely on volunteers. I mean, obviously, that was a very special circumstance that we needed above and beyond the manpower that we could have, you know, created or had, you know, within our current infrastructure. And so we had folks that, you know, we had never met before that didn't have a relationship established with the Y. People that didn't even live in Frederick County were coming from Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, because maybe they'd had a Y experience in some other state when they were a small child and they just felt like, you know, they needed to come and give back to the community. And, you know, we rely on volunteers year-round as well to help support our youth sports programs, our aquatics programs, our swim teams. You know, we use volunteers in our health and wellness and childcare programs too. So, yeah, there's always a need for folks.
When you do volunteers, particularly because it's sensitive around kids, do you do background checks?
We do. We go through a pretty heavy vetting process to ensure the safety of program participants, especially if they're going to be connected to a program, to your point, that might involve children. Safety first, obviously.
Yeah.
And then your talent second.
Let's talk about this idea, the values of the Y. Because clearly, if somebody's driving from West Virginia or wherever, they're not part of this community.
Right.
And they're coming to your aid. The brand, YMCA, and now I see in 2010 they've kind of reduced it to really branding it as the Y more formally. you know, it's a strong brand.
It is. So the original symbol was a triangle. And when the Y was originally birthed, it had three sides to the triangle, and it represented spirit, mind, and body. And the Y, until we rebranded in 2010, was the second most recognizable symbol in the world, the first being the Red Cross symbol. But what was fascinating, people knew that that was the Y symbol, but they couldn't tell you what the Y did and what the Y stood for. And now with the rebranding, we kind of use three pretty significant taglines. We're really in the business of youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. So everything we do, every program, every service, every touch point falls into one, if not multiple, of those kind of three buckets.
Say them again.
Youth development, mm-hmm. healthy living, and social responsibility.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, and you think, you know, I think if we think about the why, maybe 30, 40 years ago when I was a kid growing up, did I say that? I think I meant 20 years ago. Anyway, you know, I thought of it as athleticism and fitness, but it's bigger than that.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we sometimes get referred to as just a swim and gym, and people don't realize that, you know, there's a lot more layers to what the Y does, not just for our current participants, but we also support, you know, directly and indirectly, probably about 30 other small nonprofits in the area. You know, Rescue Mission was one. You know, when you and I first got mm-hmm. connected, you felt like you had this need of, you know, how can we get folks that might be
Mission of Mercy.
Yep. How can we get folks that might be coming through Mission of Mercy that might need some additional support beyond what the doctor is prescribing, and would health and wellness and access to a fitness center and to the YMCA be beneficial to Mission of Mercy clients? And we immediately said, absolutely, we'll offer up the doors and provide scholarships. Same thing, and I'll use Rescue Mission, or let's say the Faith House. So, you know, we also provide childcare and try to eliminate some of the barriers that they've identified.
You know, and I love Rescue Mission also. It's a great organization. We're going to go on break and we'll be right back. But we're, you know, as we talk about the difference that you make with kids, I'm interested in, and we'll talk about it when we get back, how your programs fulfill on those three taglines.
Absolutely.
You know, how you involve that in your programming. So you're listening to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. We're going to take a quick break for news and weather. I'd like to thank Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I want to invite you, if you'd like to call in and chat with Chris and I about your experience, if you've been a member of the Y or anything you'd like to talk about, call 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD, and we'd love to hear from you. You know, before we went on break, we were talking about your values as an organization, and you can have the values, but how do you translate the talk into the walk? So in your programming, how do you integrate those wonderful values and commitments?
Sure. So if you think about like youth development or even the social responsibility piece, if we have a teen program, for instance, we have a Reach and Rise program, which is going to be a one-on-one mentoring program, or we have a Y Leaders Club. Within that curriculum that we're working with the students, you know, we try to bring in guest speakers. We give them opportunities to give back, to actually do hands-on, participate in what that actually looks like, smells like, feels like. So again, I think also connecting, you know, program participants with quality staff and leadership that can kind of model what we're hoping that they will, you know, embrace in terms of their behaviors, I think is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you find people come back and say the why changed my life as a youth? You know, if you're dealing with at-risk youth, you know, I know that you know, you have why all across the country. I'm assuming there are some that are serving some of those kids that, you know, if they didn't have the why, life would have gone differently.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, that's, we want to make sure that whatever we're doing is impactful. And how do you really measure the impact, mm-hmm. you know, that the Y is making in the community? I mean, there's some things that you can kind of count and calculate and, you know, quantify. And there's other things that you really can't unless somebody's willing to, you know, tell their story and let us know what that experience has been for them. And we get a lot of Y stories, a lot of great stories of either their experiences here in Frederick, or to your point, maybe it was, you know, when they were growing up in Michigan and what the Y meant to them when they went to summer day camp for the first time.
Can you share one that kind of leaves an impression on you, one that you remember that was particularly touching?
Oh, gosh, there's so many that have been shared with me over the years. I think just, you know, recently it seems like, you know, even the definition of family has changed, where you might have grandparents now raising grandchildren, or you've got a lot of single moms or single dads that now are faced with, you know, the challenges of managing their child's day and what does that look like. And so a lot of folks have just, you know, shared with us that the Y has been this home away from home for their children, that maybe were going through a difficult time, whether it was through a divorce or a death in the family, and how that you know, really meant something to the child that was involved in a difficult time in their life, because they were able to formulate some relationships with staff and other children that might have had like experiences. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a great example, but you know, it happens every day. I guess, Jennifer, it's just really hard to kind of nail it down to one special or specific experience.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, I think with you know, when I think about the Y, I think of I was interested when you said it was mind, body, and spirit, because I think, you know, today we have so many, and I want to kind of segue into something that I have a commitment to, which is this opioid epidemic. And I think when you have, you know, right now, to your point, families are changing because there are families that are dealing with such severe cases of this epidemic, that there are parents who are not there to parent.
Right.
And so, you know, we as a community, and you seem to be a central pillar, if you will, to be able to assist in this, is can be there to help these kids navigate a very, very challenging time. Because, you know, as this epidemic continues to rise, because the trend hasn't shifted backwards yet.
No.
It's still growing. And until we get a handle on this, it's affecting our kids profoundly, because parents aren't there to parent.
Correct. And I think, you know, a couple years ago, when needs were being identified in Frederick County, I don't think the YMCA was really invited to the table a lot of times, which was a shame, because I'm not saying that the Y can be the end-all, be-all and solve all of Frederick County's issues, whether it's a drug epidemic or teen pregnancy or whatever. But I do think the Y is now being asked to be a part of the conversations, a lot of the conversations on a daily, weekly basis, because we do have the ability to bring some solutions to the table. I'm not directly in the drug addiction, you know, business, but I am indirectly, because we support, let's say, Rescue Mission, for example. We know if somebody's dealing with drug and alcohol addiction, you're basically treating the whole person, right? You're treating them emotionally, socially, spiritually, physically, mentally. And one of the keys, I think, for success in somebody overcoming addiction is to be physically active. Well, we have a health and wellness center, so let's invite folks that might be in the Rescue Mission to come and work out at the Y and to participate for free, because we know that's going to help them be successful, and it fits in with everything else that they're trying to accomplish. And so we can be a little piece of the puzzle, but we might not be the whole piece.
Well, I think that's phenomenal. And I think from the standpoint of also preventative, certainly health and wellness, if that's the intention, it cannot coexist with a drug addiction. You can't coexist that.
Correct.
So if you have your kids and your, that's right, you have your kids and your young people, that 20-30 slice is where this epidemic is hitting hard. There's some on the lower end, you know, in the late teens, there's some in the, you know, up, you know, low 30s, but that, you know, that's that sliver that's really affected. And by the way, if they're focused on health and fitness, mind, body, and spirit, they cannot be focused on drugs. Right. It just doesn't work.
So right now, our role as YMCA is, you know, obviously to support any of the support groups, any of the initiatives that are going on. We've attended, you know, countless sessions, work sessions with the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department down in the south part of the county. I know they're creating some additional task force. We're going to be a part of that. All of our staff have gone through some trainings that the Health Department has offered up so that we can administer, you know, the Narcan drug if somebody happens to be in the Y facility and decides, or not decides, but unfortunately might be experiencing some kind of an overdose. We're prepared to recognize what that might look like, and then also have the necessary medication to support somebody in crisis. So it is something that, you know, we talk about as a staff team.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a way for them to come to you and say, I am dealing with this as if I were a member of your club and I came to you and I said, Chris, I need to talk to somebody. I've got this problem.
Sure.
What would you do? How would you guide them toward treatment, solution? What's
Absolutely.
Do you have a next step for something like
that? So, you know, the beauty again about, you know, working with the Y and all the partnerships that we have in the community, we have a strong partnership with some of the agencies that actually deal directly with folks that are in drug addiction. We deal and have partnerships with the Mental Health Association. We've got a strong relationship with Josh Pederson and with the 211, you know, kind of lifeline that's out there. So we might not have all of the answers or the solutions, but we know where some of those resources are. So if it's just a lack of, you know, making that connection to an individual that might express, you know, an area of concern for either themselves or their family members, we try to get them those resources. Resources might be something that the Y has, but a lot of times it might not be the resources from the Y.
But
it
the
might
point
be,
is, yeah. Ask.
Ask. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Reach out and ask, because we're all here to help. You know, one of the things, I was just in a meeting this week, and we were talking about the stigma. See, if we come from, ooh, we can't talk about that, or ooh, that would reflect badly on my family if somebody actually knew. If we shove it under a carpet rather than pick up the phone and dial for help, people are dying. So we have to get willing to say, you know what? I got this thing. And I want to stop having this thing, and I need help. And be able to come to somebody like you or your staff where there's a loving environment filled to embrace you and your wellness and surround you and help you get to where you want to go. So anybody listening today, if you know of somebody who needs help, you know, there are solutions like shifting the focus onto health and wellness away from this drug addiction that is killing our people.
Yeah.
So that's my little high horse. So let's talk about shifting gears for a second to the idea of where you guys are going. So you have engaged in an exciting expansion project down in the South County. Can you tell people about what it's going to entail?
Sure. So that was actually one of the things that attracted me to accepting this position to be the CEO in Frederick County. I was aware that the Y had been gifted some property in the south part of the county. I looked at the overall operation, thought the Y was very healthy, very strong, had the ability to probably do more. And so after, you know, about a year or so kind of grounding myself in the community, we started to peel back some of the layers of the onion, kind of open up Pandora's box, so to speak, to say, hey, is this something that's, one, really needed? If so, what should it look like, smell like, feel like? How will we get it done? What's it going to take to do that? Who needs to be a part of that, those discussions? And so I will say that the Y has done an excellent job in working through all the appropriate steps. You know, we talked about before, you and I have talked about best practices. Mm-hmm. What are best practices? And I think we've done all the right steps in asking all the right questions and doing the homework in terms of our due diligence. You know, one is identifying, is there a need? And if so, what does that need look like? Two, once you've identified the need, how do you address that need, and what does the shape and the size and the scope of the facility ultimately start to look like? Then you have to determine, do you have the capacity to take on such a project and have the ability to sustain it once it's built? And then how are you even going to build it to begin with? Where's the money going to come from? A lot of folks seem to think that, you know, there's this little magic pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that all Ys get to tap into. And the beauty of what makes Y successful is that it's grassroots, it's community driven. It's your Y, because you've helped raise the funds to to build it. So therefore, you get to, you know, shape the experience that you want for yourself and for your family. And that's what makes the Y unique as well. Each Y is a little autonomous in, you know, in their individual communities. What works in South County and in Urbana is not what probably I might want to do if I decide to go up to Thurmond or Emmitsburg, and it might look totally different if I go into Myersville or Middletown. Right? So we have a great model in downtown Frederick, but the downtown model might not fit in that particular
in Urbana. Right. Yeah, well, you got to know your audience, right, and your demographics. And I think your leadership has been really tuned in to the communities that you're serving, because to your point, you have how many facilities across the county?
Right now we have three. We have the downtown Y, which is 95,000 square feet. We operate in about a 12,000 express Y in Monrovia. And now we manage a 72-acre resident camp in the Thurmond area in partnership with the American Legion. And then, of course, we do a lot of things outside of the main facility. We have a warehouse that's a gymnastics center across the street. We program out of Staley, and we operate, we're the largest child care provider in the county, so we operate out of 30 elementary schools throughout the county. So it's kind of a little bit of that Y without walls concept as well.
Well, and I suspect many people listening today had no idea the scope and breadth of your work. And I happen to think that the move, although controversial, I was in the throes of that when I was the president of the Commission for Women. But ultimately, it was a great move to move Head Start to you guys, I think.
I would agree. When you think about economic efficiencies, you think about core programs. I think it made good business sense at the time.
And you executed well. If you hadn't executed well, I might not have said that.
Right. Fortunately, we've done well to kind of keep that program going, and we've had great success with that for the first 5-year cycle. We're now in it for the second 5-year cycle. You know, it's been a program that's been in Frederick County before the Y took over for 40 years, and they were doing an excellent job. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, 65-70% of YMCA's partner with someone, and I think it makes good business sense whether you're a nonprofit or not a nonprofit. Government, public, and private partnerships are the way to go these days.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Success Happens, and I have with me today Chris Colville, who is CEO and president of YMCA of Frederick County. We'll be right back after we take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Chris Colville, CEO and president of YMCA of Frederick County. We've been having a fantastic conversation. I think probably people are saying to themselves, wow, I had no idea the Y was into all that stuff. So kudos to you all. Let's go back to Urbana and talk about your project down there and see how people can help. So do you have any, where are you in the process right now?
Sure. So all the homework and the research has been done, and we've pretty much landed on the need to develop a 55,000 square foot facility. So it's going to be a full facility with a lot of the bells and whistles that most people will expect to have included in a facility, such as an aquatic center, community meeting space, wellness center. A lot of Ys now are being built with very flexible types of spaces too, because things are changing. We're looking at putting in an intergenerational kind of room. So by day, it might be a room that's used by active older adults that come in for a senior wellness program. And in the afternoon, it can transition into a teen activity area. It'll have an indoor track. And so the other beauty of it is the land that we have that's been donated sits very strategically between a middle school and a high school. So how cool is that going to be able to think about you talked a little bit about the target population that might be at risk, that need to be engaged and embrace and be involved in healthy choices. We're going to have middle school and high school students that can't get to the other's campuses without now going through the middle of our building down the road. So I'm kind of excited about that. They have to come in the front door to go out the back door to get to talk to me on the way. Our goal, we have a $22 million goal We're actually trying to raise about $13.5 million of cash and or in-kind contributions to support the physical construction of the facility. Right now, we've identified and have secured close to $7 million with some partnerships and individuals and businesses. So there's still some heavy lifting to be done. We're also, you know, kind of tweaking our budget performas and looking at the health and wellness of the current YMCA operations to see what we might be able to absorb in terms of, you know, maybe potentially additional debt service. We know the program, the construction, physical construction is going to be take about 12 to 14 months to build. We know just the review process could take 12 to 14 to 16 months. So our ideal goal would be to break ground, get plans under review, and have the facility up and opening no later than the spring of 2020.
That's a nice round number.
Yeah.
2020.
Spring of 2020. You know, January of 2020.
Kind of ideally, rolls off our tongue.
Yeah, ideally YMCAs are new facilities you want to open up right at the beginning of a year because, you know, you've got all those fitness folks that have made those commitments to getting healthier for their New Year's resolutions and just the timing of it as well.
Yeah, don't do that around the holidays.
Yeah.
Total waste of money and time. Yeah. Gotta get us when we're feeling guilty. Speaking of which, I'm taking on my own health and wellness. I'm very excited about it, so stay tuned. But so when you look at these other programs and services, I want to speak to this idea of the intergenerational because I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
You know, as we're an aging population, you know, senior centers are important places for people to go to remain active and engaged. Actually, there's data that shows it keeps them healthier.
Absolutely. And I think there's a study that was done a couple years ago. I think the Chamber of Commerce put it out. And I think just based on our current statistics and demographics for Frederick County, I think we're anticipating within the next 5 to 10 years. And again, I think this is anybody that's going to be 55 or older. And I'm cusping on that.
Aren't we all, right?
Myself. But I think the 55 and older, we're anticipating that population is going to triple within the next 5 to 10 years in Frederick County alone. So, yeah, it's going to be challenging for us to kind of look at our programs and services and do we have the right types of programs. So we've started to incorporate more Parkinson's, osteoporosis, you know, classes, health and wellness, smoking cessation. We've got a lot of healthy back classes, stress management, water aerobics are great. You know, so as your body, as you get older, your body kind of morphs and you go through different things. So you obviously you might have to change, even if you're physically active and you're not a couch potato, but you actually have embraced a healthy living kind of lifestyle. It still has to be modified at some point down the road.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, are you working with the hospital and different doctors around the area to help you with that information? And
we are.
Programs?
We were engaged in some pretty lively conversations right now with the hospital in terms of, you know, as healthcare reform has changed and the way that they're doing business has been modified over the last couple of years. The one thing that we're doing is, you know, really partnering on a deeper level. And we're looking at, you know, sharing programs, co-programming, you know, supporting each other in our initiatives. Because the one thing that we can bring to the table that the hospital is seeking is they want access to healthy people. They want access to people that are already kind of engaged in being a health seeker. They want to see them while they're still doing well as opposed to having to embrace their issues when they walk in through the emergency room. So really connecting the hospital to a healthy target population. And we have over 4,000 members, which equates to about 12,000 individuals. And then unduplicated with everything that we do that happens inside and outside the walls, we serve about 35,000 unduplicated people per year.
Wow. That is a lot of folks. And, you know, again, kudos to you. It's gone very fast. We're almost to the top of the hour. I want to make sure we give people information on how to donate. Your website is frederickymca.org.
Correct.
So they can go there. Is there a place for them to donate to support your programs, whether it's the Capital Campaign in Urbana or other programs?
Yeah, I would just encourage you to get on our website, you know, tool around on that, check out some of the different pages if you have interest in, you know, aquatics programs or childcare programs, summer day camps, active older adult programs. There are donate pages. There's links that'll drive you to specific causes or things that you might be passionate about. whether that's, you know, again, the drug issues, teen issues, health and wellness, all of those things are available.
And I also encourage people to call you or your staff, and do a tour. I did a tour of your facility, and I loved it. My son loved it. I think it's a great organization. How would they see a tour? Because we're, what's your phone
number
there?
Walk in the front door.
Walk in.
Yeah, 301-663-5131 is the main number to the YMCA. Doors are open. Just come in, introduce yourself. Y will greet you. Y staff will greet you, and we'll be happy to show you around.
Wonderful. Well, it has been a pleasure having you with us.
Thanks, Jen, for having me.
And I, you know, again, I admire you. I admire your leadership, the difference you've made here in Frederick County, the contribution that you've been as an organization and individually has really been phenomenal.
Thanks.
So thank you. It's been
I'm not done yet, but thanks. More to come.
You can't leave yet. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And if you want to hear this show on podcast, please go to WFMD.com into our audio vault and listen next week, Saturday at AM, 9 AM. We'll see you then. Have a great week. This has been Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD.